Welcome to Authors First on the Artists First World Radio Network, artistsfirst.com. Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone, worldwide. To learn more about Artists First radio programming, we invite you to visit our website where there's over 4,000 hours available free on demand for your enjoyment. If you're an author or independent recorded artist, we'd love to hear from you. Simply follow those links at artistsfirst.com to get connected and have your interview scheduled. This hour, it's my privilege, Tony Kay, to introduce our guest, Elaine Smith. She's the author of Ridin' Around. Her website is blazing books.com. Let's give a warm Artist First welcome to our guests. How do you do, Elaine?
Howdy. Are you okay?
Great to have you on board this hour on Authors First. Tell us, how did you find out about Artist First Radio?
Well, on Facebook, I am a member of a writing group, and a person posted his, excuse me, I think he's scheduled right after me, Jordan. He posted his interview, and I said, ooh, that sounds good, and I think I also saw it on one of those things that they send out and say, hey, come talk to us. So anyways, I'm just looking for any way to get the word out and to say hey to everybody about Ridin' Around.
Social networking today is so critical for authors wanting to get their message out, and I think such a valuable tool. Amazing that Jordan, this will be his second time around Artist First to be interviewed, so I'm so proud that he spoke about it and that you followed his lead.
Yes, indeed, and he even won a copy of my book in a little giveaway I had the other night.
Wow. Now, don't say that too many times. Audience, you hear that? We have authors who actually give away a book. So it's great to meet. You know, I'm sure all of you out there in internet radio land have a favorite author, somebody that you just wish for one moment you could have an hour of their time to talk to them about their passion and their stories. And, you know, you probably have a lot better ideas than I do. So feel free to join the conversation. Tony Kay in the studio with Elaine Smith, and the email's dj@artistfirst.com. And is there another website that our listeners should be aware of in addition to blazingstarbooks.com?
Nope, that's got everything on there, good pictures and excerpts and reviews and all kinds of good information about me and the books that I have released.
Wow. Now, was writing this book a new venture for you? Had you written previously, or where did your love of literature and the decision to write this book originate?
That in itself is a pretty nice story, so let me just tell you this. I had the bird nest on the ground job. I was working for a company remote, 120 miles from the office out in the country, going to work in my pajamas, making a big salary, doing everything that I was supposed to do, had all kinds of benefits, and I hated my job. And I had an epiphany whenever I was volunteering, interviewing for a volunteer position, that I said that. I've said all these good, wonderful things about my job, and then I said, but I hate my job. I'm looking for something else. Well, always being a lover of words, and my father was as well, I thought, you know, that's the thing. What do? Write about what you know. And so that was whenever I said, well, gosh, the best things that I have, and I have a fairly goofy sense of humor and all that, so I sat down and wrote down the things that I remembered back in my college days and interviewed friends and stuff like that and put it all together into a cohesive story that I call creative nonfiction, meaning it either all happened or it could have happened.
Well, either way, it's a win-win situation.
Correct.
And why not? You're writing the book. You can lay the parameters. That's the great thing about being an author. You decide lots of things on your own.
Yes, indeed. And to have a style your own, their very own, because my writing style is very, very casual, and a couple of the editors who looked at it went, I don't know, should you say this and this? I said, but that's how I talk. So I've had compliments on various things that whenever people read my stuff, they think, they feel like I am talking to them individually. And so I think that's a good testament to the style that I write in.
It really is. You know, you want, as an author, always for your audience to be engaged, to feel like, wow, I'm really involved and into this storyline.
Exactly.
And so that came rather naturally for you then.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That's something that's always been there. I started to write a fantasy book many years ago and lost interest in it. Well, this, about three-quarters of the way through, that bird nest on the ground job fired me after 21 years with the company. And so I said, well, here's my best chance. So I just filed for unemployment and sat down and finished my book and got it published and followed it through to fruition. And I tell you what, that is an accomplishment that I liken to graduating from college. It was a big deal.
And, you know, as I tell my grandchildren, you know those grades? You earned them. I mean, I love to see A's and B's, and believe me, they have lots of them. I'm fortunate to have bright grandchildren, and but nonetheless, the effort, the work, the mastery, the exercise, all, it's yours. It's all yours.
That's right. And then instead of grades now, I get reviews, you see, and so that's good. As long as they're all in that A-plus kind of a deal, we're doing good.
Yeah, and obviously you're getting positive reviews all over the place, especially from your fans, those who have bought the book and love what you're doing. This becoming an author, you know, financial necessity, I suppose. Well, no, not really. In your case, it was a vocational choice. It's something that you really had a passion to discover.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's always been something that I love to do, is to write. I had written several short stories and written for local newspapers and that sort of thing. And it was something that I always did. And like I said, my dad, he was a hillbilly, unbelievably educated, and he was like the A number one top-notch crossword puzzle worker of all times. And he helped me have that love for words.
Oh, that's tremendous. That one of my questions about family background, and were there any other authors in your family, or who gave you that inspiration, the love of words? And you're telling me it was your father.
It's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and is he still with us, living?
He passed away in 2003. He was a World War II vet, and he was... Let me tell you, whenever we had his funeral, the church was full. People came out of the woodwork that he positively affected their lives. And I feel very fortunate to have had him as my father. I still hear from him every now and then.
Well, absolutely, you know. And I understand what that means, what you mean by that. And I think it's awesome. Maybe a book, or maybe he'll be the inspiration of a character in a book.
Well, actually, my little novella that I have also on my website called The Perfect Place, he is a major character in that, and it was a dream that I had that was like going to a place of perfect knowledge and interviewing, asking questions of the masters and the geniuses of times past, and he was my guide through that. And that came from a dream that he probably gave me, because he was a searcher of knowledge.
Well, you know, and of course, when you acquire it, it becomes a different kind of burden at that point. Knowledge.
Knowledge. Well, they say knowledge is power, but That is true to some extent, but it is also necessary to, even the theme in my in that novella is, knowledge is wonderful, but love is what is most important to carry on through whatever realm of life or death that you have. Your love is there.
Absolutely. And you see that reflected in an author who enjoys their writing. They're in love with it. It's a passion. They're involved with the characters, the scene, the setting, and they're involved in wanting others to share that enthusiasm and excitement.
Right. And by standing in, like in Riding Around, I used real people as the basis for the characters. I combined some, you know, because there was lots of friends back then. But I have these basic characters. Of course, knowing them was very good because I could step in their shoes and do dialogue that I knew that they would speak, that they would say in their manner. And when it came to cursing, I don't usually curse, but I know that some people do, and I had to put that in because that's what they do, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're right, a certain level of realism.
Exactly.
So Riding Around, it's not a kid's book, but it really could bridge, you think, 16, 17 and up?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It should be required reading for anyone going into college. I call it PG. There's not anything terrible in it, but, you know, just a little bit here and there.
Oh, boy. Well, we have our college kids coming home for the holidays, audience.
Yes.
What a great way to get a copy of the book, Riding Around, for $12. A good read, very attractive, and appropriate for college-age students. If you want to give them some common sense about how to be independent and enjoy life without taking risks that are harmful.
Right, or at least getting away with it.
Well, I think that's a I think that's a big part of growing up, is pushing the limits, deciding what it is we can get away with.
That's true, and we were lucky back then that we could get away with a lot of things. That's why I use the they call it the elevator pitch. The quick catch line is that gas was cheap, cops were allowed to laugh on duty, and all we needed to have fun was music, wheels, and friends.
Now, the period we should tell our audience you're dealing with is, 70s to the 80s?
It's I said it in the fall of 1980.
The fall of 1980. Okay.
It is the music of the late 70s, right about the time, if you lived out in the country or wherever, there was only one way to have rock and roll music, and that was to have an 8-track player in your car. So that's why the subtitle is Taillights in Chrome, because we're looking back in time, and 8-tracks on wheels, because that was freedom, man, to have your music mobile. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I don't remember what fuel cost then. Was it less than a buck, a gallon?
Oh, yeah, like 60 cents, something like that.
You hear me, audience? There was a time not that long ago for me and Elaine when we could remember paying that kind of money for fuel.
Well, put it this way, $5 worth of gas would last you about 4 hours of riding up and down the drag.
I'll date myself. I remember when I could pay 25 cents a gallon.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that's right. And, of course, our cars, we only got 3 or 4 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, I think mine was up around 10. Yeah, because it was a hot rod.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, just suck it down. Exactly. So we're delving into an era where we were able to be, I think, a little more free. Is that the right word?
That is correct, because it was a time in college we didn't lock our doors. We didn't lock our cars. We left our windows down. We slept with the windows open. We didn't even have curtains. And we just, it was a level of trust that is just gone from even here where I'm living and where I went to college. It's different. It was just a level of trust that you weren't scared of anything. You get in with somebody, ride around with them, get back out, go on about your day. It was how you met people. There was no worry that they'd kidnap you and take you off and leave you dead on the side of the road somewhere.
Now, I should mention that our author's full name, Elaine Fields Smith. If you'd like to do a Google, she's on Amazon, all over the World Wide Web, or directly from her website, blazingstarbooks.com. The Fields in your name.
Yes.
Part of the cookie giant?
I wish, but my mother was a good cook, but yeah, it's my dad's name, and I wanted that. I wanted to be able to be found by all the people who knew me in my age 1 through 25 when I was a Fields, you see.
Aha,
so all my high school friends, whatever, whenever they'd say, oh, I know her, that's Elaine Fields. Yeah, I know her, because I think of all those people, and even my college friends, as their maiden names. They've been married like me for 30 years, but they still have that maiden name in my head, you know.
That's the great thing about being a guy.
True. You just don't have to worry about that. You've got the same identity no matter where you go, huh?
Well, it helps because my head's a little shinier than it was back then.
Well, that's true, because then, well, you can't be incognito as far as the name is concerned.
That's right. But if they were looking at me, they'd say, who is that?
And I'm sure that does happen sometimes.
Oh, it does, more than I'd like to admit, yes.
Well, I'll pat myself on the back. I went to a little reunion of high school friends back in June, I think it was, and most everyone stopped dead in their tracks and said, oh, my gosh, you look exactly the same. I'm like, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. That's a wonderful compliment. This reflective mode, I've heard it many times from authors, write what you know, write what you love. What brought you back to that era and gave you the impetus to decide to write about it?
Well, it was actually that, write what you know. What did I know? What did I think would be entertaining? Our wild and crazy stories about what we did riding up and down the drag. When guys would chase us, we'd run up and down the drag in our cars, and guys would chase us. I have one scene in the book where these guys were chasing us all over town. We went through parking lots. We slid sideways. We did all kinds of stuff until finally I made a turn. He didn't, and he crashed. So that kind of story is like, wow. Really, that actually did happen.
Now, Elaine, do you get into the particulars about the vehicles involved, and were those the actual cars, or was there a little invention here?
In some cases, it was. My husband had a 79 Silver Thunderbird. Big, block-long car, Battleship Smith, he called it, and I couldn't bring myself to put him in anything else. That was his car. And I had a Nova. I put myself to be a little bit nicer into a Camaro. But most of all, some other guys, that was their cars. Guy had a Trans Am. Guy had a Corvette. You know, whatever. They were in those cars, yeah, and pickups and such.
And now, give our audience some of the topography. Where are we living here? What state and what's the lay of the land?
Okay, we are in Central Texas, about 100 miles southwest of Dallas. The setting is a town which I called Berryville, which is actually Stephenville, Texas, and the college is Tarleton State University, which I named Central Texas State University to protect some of the guilty. And it is, at the time, it was a college of about 4,000 people, the town about 10,000 people. And it's just a... We had a Dairy Queen at one end of town and a Dairy Queen at the other end of town, a Sonic in the middle, and the county courthouse was right in the middle as well. And the college also had an entrance off of the main street, the main drag through town, and any and everybody drove through the college. Well, my room was the dorm that looked out over that drive. And so we could sit in our window and watch the cars go by and wave at people, and people would honk at us, and we got very, very good at changing clothes in the closet.
Okay, because of spying eyes.
Well, you know, you have to have some modesty, right? You know.
Yeah, well, I would hope so. Yes.
Although I did have one funny thing in our favorite album was Queen Jazz at the time, and that's the one that has Fat Bottom Girls on it. Okay, and in the album there was this fold out poster. I bet you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Okay. And it was a fold-out poster of a bunch of naked women on bicycles. And, yes, we hung that up on our wall so that people could see that from the outside, just to gain a little more interest in what was going on in our rooms.
Did it work?
It did indeed, yes.
And so some of those passerbys actually pulled in and made it up the stairs.
And, oh, no, that was highly against the rules at that time. Highly against
yes,
the rules.
Yes, but we're talking about breaking them.
Well, this is true. But we didn't go there. But if they hollered and they had a nice car, we thought it was okay, we would go out and go ride with them, yeah.
You know, it's quite natural for young people. They leave the nest, the home, the surrounding, the parental guidance, so to speak, and
right.
To sow those wild oats and meet new people and perhaps stretch the limit and do some things that previously they would never consider. But, of course, mother and father will never find out any of this.
Well, until they read the book, yeah.
Well, but decades later they'll find out, and then it's too late.
That's right, and that's why parents always say, go ahead, go do whatever, I did it, you know, I know what you're up to, because, hey, we did, right?
Yeah, and we just don't want to know about it.
Right, and we say, okay, la, 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 with your ears closed, right?
Oh, yeah. So riding around is exploring those years, that wonderful decade or few years we have of being independent on our own, away from the parents, in the 80s, riding around, taillights in chrome, 8 tracks on wheels. By our author this hour, Elaine Fields Smith, website blazingstarbooks.com. Tony Kay, that's me, in the studio. Questions or comments can be emailed to dj@artistfirst.com. And as our author mentioned, she's on Facebook and other social network sites, Amazon. You do a Google search for her. Look her up in the yearbook if you'd like. Elaine Fields. Now, she's told us the rest of the story, so you can, you went to school with her. That's right. And you could do it, too. You could write a book. But right now, I'd be happy if all of you that went to school, all 14 that attended with Elaine Fields Smith, I'd like for you to buy the book. No, I mean, oh, that was how many that was in that room.
At times, there was that many in that room, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was a great time, college. You could just be everywhere at one time.
Right, and we've called it the coming of age. It's that time in your life, the coming of age, whenever you're looking for friends and you're looking for love and you're looking for your purpose in life. And that sort of thing. And you do have to try out things and do different things and get your heart broken and find something new. And I tell you what, the friendship is the key in this entire book. And in my life, if you look on my website, I've got pictures of my friends in the last couple of years that are the characters in the book.
Did you send them all $1?
Not yet. I haven't made that much money yet, but I did get their permission. Okay, here's a funny story. One of them, she was a notorious partier, okay? Notorious. Well, someone else told me a story about his brother who went out into the country to a party, and his ride left or something, and he was left on his own. He had to walk across. He was going to walk back to town, and it was probably a couple, 3 or 4 miles. Well, he was a little messed up, too much beer, whatever, and he fell into what we call a dairy lagoon, okay? If you think about where they wash all the poop from the dairy into a big pond, that's what he fell in. Well, my friend, who was the notorious partier, I put her into that situation, and she read the draft before I had it put into print, and she came back to me and she said, "Elaine, I did a lot of things. I know, I went out, I did a lot of things, but I never fell in a dairy pond." I said, "Yeah, but, you know, it could have happened." And she said, "You're right, it could have happened."
Well, there you go. I mean, why not? You know, it's all right to take some liberty. It's in the flow. It's in the scheme of things, right?
Right. And I wouldn't have put me in that situation because I wouldn't have done that, but she would have.
Yeah, and how exciting. What, you know, and that's what friends are all about. Sure, go ahead. You know, say something outlandish about me.
Yeah, she couldn't deny that it could have happened had she been in that situation.
Oh, that's awesome. That's wonderful. Friends, Music, and Wheels, riding around, taillights in chrome, 8 tracks on wheels. We're talking about the 80s. Maybe you were there. I hope so. Elaine Field Smith was certainly there, riding around the book. This is the holiday season, folks. Of course, any time is a good time for a good read. What's the length of the book, Elaine?
It is about 250 pages, and it's in pretty big print, so a person, you know, that doesn't like the real small print can see it. I also included, at the beginning of each chapter, a really nice sketch photo that represents something that goes on in that chapter. A good girlfriend of mine that I ride motorcycles with was a wonderful sketch artist, and so she made some of the sketches in there, and I think I have a couple of them on the website, but to give you a little bit of ambiance, a little bit of feel for what's going to come up in the next few pages. Also, another interesting thing that we included in this was, if you remember 8-track days, and you remember how the music would go along, and then it would get to the end of the track, and it might be at the end of the song, or it might not, and it would stop, go, and then start back up again.
Yes, these were the features that truly endured us to the 8-track.
And to this day, you still have those pauses in your head whenever a song comes up like that. Well,
I liked it when the machine just would suddenly eat the tape, and you'd be pulling it out of the machine, and it's just got a hold of it, and it's not letting go.
Okay, that was also a problem, but there again, it was better than nothing, right? But I put that a symbol, which represents that, in between the chapters. You know, I mean, in between the scenes and the chapters for chapter breaks. And so I have it in the introduction, if you read the introduction, to go chick, whenever you see that, and you get the idea of, I'm changing gears, I'm going on to something else here.
I'm getting hate mail from 8-track aficionados who claim they're still using it in their car.
Very good.
Well, okay, good for you. Yes, it was a fun time, you know, to be able to take your music in a portable way that you liked. Whoever the artist might be, who are some of your musicians, some of the music that you and your friends were all listening to, and while you were drag racing and getting into a little trouble?
Oh, always. We had Queen in various forms and versions, and Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Is that the We Are the Champions of the World, or what is that? No,
more like jazz and The Game.
Ah, okay.
And most important, Night at the Opera.
Oh, boy.
We also, Steve Miller Band, we would dance to Swing Town going down the road. We had three girls in the front. This was before seatbelt days, and we'd be dancing and throwing our hands out either side the car. We loved Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent comes up quite often in the book because that was Glenn's favorite. And we had, let's see, that was the time of the Knack, you know, Get the Knack, and some goofy stuff like that was a little more punk.
Yeah, I guess you wouldn't be riding with me. I'd have Johnny Cash and Mel Tillis and, let's see. Oh no.
Well, yeah. See, around here, you would listen to the radio if you wanted that stuff. However, we were too far from Dallas to get the radio stations from Dallas that played rock and roll. So that's why we had to have our 8-tracks rock and roll.
Yeah. Oh, and all kinds. You know, of course, amazing amount of material on 8-track. I mean, you'd have to carry a big luggage. You'd have tapes everywhere, under the seat, in the back, on the back seat, in the trunk. I mean, under the hood. Where did I put that 8-track?
Pretty much true. Pretty much true. And the suitcase is a true statement. There, of course, when the cassettes came out, the suitcase was a little bit more like a carry-on, but still, it was good to have it there to choose from, and you could just pick one out and put it in. It was amazing. It seems so silly now, but it was a really big deal for us back then.
You'd be shocked. I still use that little audio cassette in the studio.
Really?
Yeah, and we have digital. We have everything, but I still use that, too.
Well, that's because you're old, right?
I guess. I feel secure.
Okay, well, we stay with what we're comfortable with.
Well, and also you can tamper with the sound. I like. There's something about a tape that I like, but that's just personal nostalgia, sort of like those who still play vinyl records.
Very good, very good.
Something about the sound, we think. It's all in our mind, probably.
Most likely.
But regardless, yes. The record, just remembering, you know, this is 2011. You're listening to Authors First. Tony Kay in the studio. I've totally lost track of who I am and where I am. I'm just having a great ride. Well, that's right, riding along with our guest this hour, Elaine Fields Smith. Thank you for bringing us down memory lane about some of the things you liked. I like to eat food. How about you guys? Any food in your book?
Corny dogs.
Yeah, the corn dog.
Corny dogs. Corny dogs, tater tots, and a cherry vanilla lime Sprite. We would go to the Sonic and write a check for $1.72.
They just built a Sonic across from Walsh University, not far from where my wife and I live. And we went, and that's what my wife only ordered the corny dog. Corny dog, that's right. That's what she ordered. And I had a milkshake. They have really good food.
And we had a really cool pizza place too that had a second story that had windows that looked over the drag right where people turned around, and that was also the place to be.
Yeah, well, there were the burger huts, you know, any drive-through, anything that had a loop-de-do where I could pull in here and looped around on the other side, you know, a little cruising going on. You had the one main drag going through your town with the university, correct?
Right.
That's very common. That's all over the place.
Exactly. It was a Dairy Queen to Dairy Queen, and so there's where you would stop and get your dip cone or get you a Coke or... And the Dairy Queen parking lot, pulling out of the Dairy Queen parking lot, was like NASCAR going around a curve 4 wide. That would have to, before they got finished with that curve, they had to get in single line to make the light at down about half a block. It was jockeying for position all the time.
If you went to college and there were less than 12,000 students, or maybe 12,000 in the whole town with the college, this is the book for you. Or if you're going off to college or it's your first year, I bet you'd get a kick out of this book, too. Just be careful.
That's
You might learn a few things.
Well, it's a what to do and what not to do.
Well, we have to have that.
Right. Don't let this happen to you. But if you do, here's how to get out of it.
Now, you have some time in the book. That's why I raised the question, the length. And you have some time there to develop the characters and allow their personalities to come through. How did you divide them up, men and women?
Well, I actually...
Or couples.
Well, they were everybody was individual, and there was two or three different characters that I combined people into those characters, and sometimes unlikely combinations that they probably knew each other, but you know they were completely different people. But
that's payback.
Well, maybe so, but they have to just realize that because of those characteristics, they were important to me, and so I made one person out of it rather than having too many characters.
I was just kidding, thinking of Sybil, audience. That's all.
Well, nothing
would offend anyone true out there, friends. We love you all.
Exactly.
And thank you for allowing authors to use you frequently in very various mixed combinations to create realism in a book. And that's what it's all about. I want our audience to recognize, Elaine, that when they read the book, there's going to be elements, people, things that, that sounds like her. Oh, I knew a guy. Well, that's what I would do. You know, there's going to be some of that going on.
Definitely people relate to this because almost no matter how old you are, you have a memory of interacting with your friends out on the town, so to speak. And I've talked with people from Maine to Washington State, and everybody did you ever drive up and down the drag? And they smile. It automatically brings a smile. You think, well, gosh, yeah, we did the drag. That was, you know, that was great. We had a good time. They don't do that anymore, do they?
No, we would. Matter of fact, on our muscle cars, we were able to unbolt the exhaust system and allow open headers.
Oh, yeah.
And our parents could say, yeah, I could hear you coming, you know, like, you know, 8 miles away. I knew it was you. I could, you know, I know your sound.
That's right. That's definitely that was a common thing. Uncap your headers is what that's called.
Yeah, that's right. Let it just go on out, drag maybe even side by side. A little risky, taking up all the road. You know, if you knew where the one cop was at, you were okay.
That's true.
He's over there. He's all by himself. By the time he makes it over here, well, we're gone.
Yes, and it was easy to disappear. Turn your lights off and know the back streets and get away.
Now they can just follow the GPS on your cell phone, everyone.
Yeah. And that's the truth. Hey, Tony, one other thing I wanted to say was the dialogue in Riding Around is all in Texan.
Oh, what fun.
So you can, if you're listening to me talk, you can see, you can hear just then, listening. I don't say listening. I say listening.
I know. You sound like that's the panhandle. Isn't that closer to Lubbock, Texas?
That is. But I am on the edge of West Texas. So I'm Central Texas, and I grew up at Dallas, but my husband lived in the country, and I caught a lot of accent from him. I actually have a stronger accent now than I did when I was in high school.
When I attended Lubbock Christian College, now Lubbock University, Christian University, way back when, they awarded me the homiletic award because of my Ohio accent.
Well, you'd be happy to know that one of my main characters in the book is a guy from Ohio who does speak correctly.
And why Lubbock? Well, Buddy Holly.
Yes.
That's his town.
Right. Oh, yeah. And, of course, ZZ Top.
Oh, yeah. I love ZZ Top. Yeah, great outfit. And now my son, Richie, owns a studio, Jupiter Studio, brings in bands. It's an art gallery, restored a 1925 Art Deco facility, and does a tremendous job with the arts. It's great to see how you can really tap into the talent that's out there. And Elaine, you had that talent deep inside of you.
Yes.
There
you.
It was. I mean, you were doing an occupation that you didn't like, that was drudgery, and you've translated all. You said, well, okay, now I'm not in that situation any longer. I'm going to do what I really want to do.
That's correct.
You set out to do it with all the fervor and passion. You found a topic that you could be engaged with. You probably had more material than you should have been a series.
Yeah, hindsight, I should have broken it into two books, yes.
Because you have a wealth of material, but now that fire of being an author, you've gone through the whole process. You've made it affordable for our listeners to buy Riding Around, $12. There it is. You have the total package, blazingstarbooks.com, the website. Get your copy today. You won't be disappointed. It's a tremendous value, and it'll bring back memories.
That's right. And we can throw in a bonus that if they order and they tell me they heard me shooting the bull with you here tonight, I'll throw in that perfect place. It's just a PDF, a 48-page novella. I'll send that along, and it's an inspirational fiction that's pretty nice.
Well, you know, if just 65 or 70,000 of our listeners to Authors First would do that,
I would be happy to.
We would all be happy.
Yes.
Every one of you, just buy one. That would be okay.
Even if you don't buy it, you want to email me and say you heard me, I'll send it to you.
Now, some of them have this funny electronic device. I think it's called a Tindle.
Yes, it's on Kindle.
Oh, Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
And, tell us about that. Is that even more affordable than the $12 book?
How about
$1.99? $1.99. Now, there's absolutely no excuse. We have to shame our audience.
And they have Kindle for PC that you can download for free.
Oh.
And so then you can get your book on your PC.
Now, we didn't have all of these bells and whistles in 1980, folks.
Amen to that. No cell phones, no 911.
I don't even think Al Gore invented the internet yet.
There was no internet. Yeah, exactly. Satellites were something that, you know, NASA did and didn't have anything to do with us. Spies and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was James Bond all the way back then. And so here we are, or Steven Seagal, or whoever your favorite happened to be. Maybe, no, let's see, was that, Sylvester Stallone era. Rocky and all that, wasn't
it? Yes, it was. It was that. One of my friends, that one of the characters in the book, I didn't go there, but to this day, around here, I say, do you remember so-and-so? And they say, and I say, Rocky. And they go, oh, yeah, I remember him. We had one.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows at least one. And my wife, she did a show over in, I believe it was Boardman, Ohio. No, it was Niles, Ohio. And it was a big venue, several thousand. And she told me later that she had never seen so many Italian men in one place outside of Italy. So that's saying a lot.
Well, it was just the bedroom eyes gets your attention, you know.
Yeah, well, that's right. And and my family was also Italian and Swiss. So I have some of that European blood in me too.
No wonder she leaned that direction.
Yeah, exactly. Riding Around, taillights in chrome, 8 tracks on wheels. How long did it take you to pound it out?
It was about a year and a half. I had a couple of distractions, but it was about a year and a half from start to finish.
Yeah, so you were really struggling. Now, when it came time to finally, after a year and a half, now I have all these pages, was it already editorialized? Had you gone through it pretty thoroughly, or what was the next move?
Oh, gosh. How about 9 rewrites? Yeah.
Only 9?
9 rewrites, because I did not know what I was doing, and I was just telling the stories, and then somebody said, well, your syntax isn't correct, and you need a comma here, and I found that, I forget who said that, but they studied about putting in a comma, and then they took it out, you know, kind of thing. It was like, gosh, why is it so important? But yes, it was another 8 months probably to go through the editing process, because I did not have a good enough product at the time to give to a professional editor, and I had a local guy going through it, and I just anyway, we went round and round and round, and then I finally sent it off to I had to negotiate because I was so poor I couldn't pay attention. I negotiated a good price on editing, and he took care of it for me. And I tell you what, it came out beautiful. I've done reviews for other people and said, you know, you have this misspelling here, or this doesn't look right here. Not one person has said anything that they could find wrong in Riding Around.
Because they don't know Texan.
Well, okay, if you don't count that.
Just had to throw it in.
I'm sure. Well, I grabbed it.
All right,
but,
there we go.
Yeah, the other part of that is I did start my own publishing company to get it done, and I put it through all the professional ways that it needed to be done. And then I had a book launch.
No, boy, you just started your own company. You hear that, everyone? Just decided, yeah, I'm going to not only, I've gone this far after 3 years, I might as well just own it all.
Well, that, and also, in this day and time, it's so easy to get things published through the Vanity Press that not really, you know, everybody gets attention. And I found that you have to be somebody to get attention, but I needed to get attention in order to be somebody.
Well, we only need 4 million of you that listen regularly to Artist First Radio from all points of the globe to spend $1.99 right now.
That's
riding
right.
Around.
And
we'd all be happy.
If you have the other versions of the readers, it's on smashwords.com as well.
Oh, boy. The technology. Do you hear what we're saying here, audience? A book that should be $24, $25 is $12. A book that you can download into your technology today and your devices for $1.99, a whole book. You know, it's just awesome what we can do now. Elaine Field Smith has applied her talent, her genius, her passion, and put together a book that's a joy, something you'll enjoy and enjoy sharing. And if you don't believe her or me, you can certainly, I don't think I said that correctly, but anyway, you can certainly go online and do a Google, and you'll find all kinds, and look, just see for yourself. Check her out. See what other people say about her and her wonderful book, and you'll see great reviews and time well spent. Because, you know, we'd like to feed our mind with positive memories and experiences and remembrances, and this is a great way to do it. It's sort of autobiography, is that right?
It is, sort of, yes.
And yet, fictionalized enough to protect the guilty.
Correct.
So we won't be able to exactly pinpoint who is what, and that's awesome. And Elaine, you've had a great time talking about your family, your background, your home, Texas. And are you belonging then to any associations there? How has this business venture changed your focus?
Well, mainly in the marketing aspect, and being way out here in the boonies, there's not that much opportunity to, like, go to Kiwanis or Optimists or whomever and talk. My subject matter is not that I would go to the history clubs and what have you. So I've been principally aiming on the Internet to put the word out, to try to touch base with people, much like I have done so with you.
And you can do that 24/7,
exactly.
Once again.
And I can do it from this chair 120 miles from civilization.
Yeah. Now, and you could have a blog. You have your social network sites that you can communicate with. Literally, the sky is the limit.
Correct. You can chat with people on Facebook across the on the other side of the world.
So the technology available for you, what? It's a business venture. Now, are you going to solicit other authors to join with BlazingStarBooks.com, or are you planning another venture, another book? And if so, when will that be released?
Okay. Yes, on both of those questions. I do read manuscripts that people send, give them advice on it. And I would help them to get it published. I can't finance it, but I can hook them up with the outlets and the procedures and all of the parts and pieces that are needed to create a quality product. I can do that. As far as my next project, I am actually about to send to the editor a completely different story, which is still based on true but a crime situation. And it is a much darker story. It has a lot, it has a tie to this town where I live, in that one of the guys in the group was from here. And my husband wondered, whatever happened to that guy? We knew what happened, you know, whenever the crimes went on. So we investigated it, did buku research, got the court transcripts and everything, and now I've got that into a novel based on a true crime that I hope to get out in the spring. It's going to the editor in January.
It sounds like you have a wonderful husband. He's supportive and enjoys probably a little of the research investigating this information.
That's true. He does like the research. He can sit here on the internet, and he did one. Also, he's got information ready for me to do another true crime. I'm going to do chapters on the murders of Central Texas and just focus on the murders of this area and tell the actual stories, and that's probably next after this.
Wow. What fun that you two are working together on these projects, and that you have his support, and that he gets it, that this is really fulfilling to you, and that builds a wonderful relationship when you have that type of understanding and support.
Yes, and he has mentioned to me and to other people that he is very, very proud that I finished riding around, that I got it into print, that I can stand there and hold it and say, I did this. He's very proud of me for doing that.
And your husband's name?
Glenn, G-L-E-N-N.
Glenn. Hey, Glenn, you're the man. Thank you very much.
And today is his birthday, isn't it?
Happy birthday also, Glenn. And Merry Christmas to you and your lovely wife and family. And I can tell that you've got a real gem. And together, you two are having a great adventure together. I don't know how far back you'll write. Is Glenn a little older than you?
No, he's actually younger than me. I got a younger guy.
Oh, okay. So he may be interested in the 90s.
Oh, no, not that much younger.
Just kidding.
He was an old soul anyway.
Well, I won't push his age then.
No, three and a half years younger than me.
We'll leave that open because then we can calculate your age.
That's correct.
That's the no-no. Can't talk about that.
Not necessarily.
But the 80s were fun and kind to both of you, and thank you for assembling such great material for our readers and for being our guest on Authors First. Tony Kaye in the studio. Go to the website, everyone. You won't be disappointed. BlazingStarBooks.com, the website. Happy birthday, Glenn. Hope you enjoyed the interview, and thanks for being such an all-around great guy. If you were nearby, I'd buy you a Yingling, recently found in Ohio for the first time. Before I let you go,
okay.
Anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to or concluding remarks?
Well, just my friend Nancy Taylor, who was Tanya in the book, passed away last week from cancer. And I take every opportunity to send my love to her wherever she is.
Been listening to Authors First on the Artist First World Radio Network, artistfirst.com.